Thanks for making Locked On Yankees your first listen every day. We're free and available on all platforms. On today's show, The Athletic published an article by Ken Rosenthal and Lindsay Adler about the Yankees and how they should spend their money once the lockout ends. Anthony Rizzo made some comments on a podcast about the ball problems in 2021. Yes, more ball talk. Sorry.
And take a drink.
I know. Hall of Fame ballots are being revealed, and some of them have been surprising. All that next on Locked On Yankees.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Everyone, I'm Stacey Gottsoulias, co-host of Locked On Yankees, joined by my co-host, Abby Mastracco. Abby, how are you on this Thursday?
We're getting through the week. It's almost the holidays.
Yeah, it's getting closer and closer. I jokingly, before the show, I was going to put together like a Yankee gift idea.
Oh, yeah.
Segment that we
is
can
there a
do.
Yankee Advent calendar? Maybe I'll get that for you next year.
Yeah. Before we get into everything, you can listen to us in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher. You can watch us on YouTube, so subscribe and like. And if you have a smart device, you can tell it to play podcast Locked On Yankees. So, okay, this article from The Athletic I found very interesting because the title of it, with plenty of talent still on the market, it's about time the Yankees flex their financial muscle, which, hell yeah, I agree. Not that they don't spend money. Obviously, they spent money on Gerrit Cole 2 years ago, and that's a lot of money. And, you know, they still have Giancarlo Stanton's contract and all that stuff. But, you know, leading into the lockout, the biggest move that they made was Joely Rodriguez. The key to the article is basically, you know, Hal might be waiting for all this stuff to happen with the lockout and the CBA and the luxury tax and anything that's happening with the salary floor. And I get that. I'm just really afraid. And I said this before we started recording, I'm just really afraid that he's going to do one of those, we can sign this guy and then, you know, as a stopgap, which is what's been talked about the past couple of weeks. And this one quote in the article from an agent is the perfect description of the Yankees right now, because yes, they have a lot of talent. They're in New York. There's no bigger stage than New York, even with the Mets, but like really with the Yankees. And the quote is, Hal operates the Yankees like a top Broadway show. They charge top ticket prices and put the biggest and best stars on the stage. With that said, the show's primary purpose is to turn a significant profit. If the Broadway show happens to win a Tony for best show, all the better. And I found that interesting because it's true.
Yeah, but you know, the same can be true of a lot of professional sports franchises these days, like right. Probably 99% of them. That's the reason we have a lockout, you know, it's all about profits. I do commend teams like the Mets right now who are saying we are going for it. We want to win a championship. The Padres built up to win a championship, the Dodgers to win a championship. Some of those ballparks might pay for themselves, you know, Dodger Stadium still is a draw. I believe they also make a lot of money off of park. Maybe don't quote me on this. Somebody told me recently that Frank McCourt might still own like some of the parking spots, like not all of them, but like just the way that and I don't know if this is true, but I think it's really funny if that's the case. Like, I just like to imagine Frank McCourt like holding on to his like five parking spots in Dodger Stadium. This could, and like, maybe I shouldn't even say this because it could be totally untrue, but I just, like I said, I love imagining that
allegedly.
Scenario. Allegedly. I just love imagining that scenario. And like, if you had like read how nasty the McCourt divorce got, but there were the certain items, like, you know, Jamie McCourt wanted use of the indoor pool for certain hours of the day. And she wanted to like be able to retain her hairstylist in the terms of the divorce. So to me, it's just funny being like, you might have got your indoor pool, but I got five parking spots at Dodger Stadium. So, like, you know, take it.
Yeah, It's
I
funny
just think
that
that's really funny.
you mentioned the parking lot at Dodger Stadium, because I will say when they show an aerial shot, because, you know, I go to Yankee Stadium, there's barely parking. I mean, there is. There's parking garages around it because it's in the middle of the Bronx. But when you see a stadium like Dodger Stadium, all of that, those parking spots around it, it's just like a totally different world for someone like me who's used to going to stadiums in the city. Actually, even Citi Field is weird to me because it's surrounded by parking spots compared to Yankee Stadium. But yeah, Dodger Stadium is, I went there once and I was actually in awe when I went there because we went in from the top. So we walked in at the top level above home plate and, you know, saw it on TV, saw it in Naked Gun, you know, and being there was just like, wow, like
yeah.
This is amazing. Yeah.
And if you like look back from the top level too, you get this incredible view of the LA skyline with downtown LA. It just looks so close. Like it's almost like looking at the New York skyline from Brooklyn or from New Jersey. Like it just looks so close and the buildings look so big. And then there's another section in Dodger Stadium where you can see the Hollywood sign.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just get the like absolutely gorgeous views of the mountains there, and the way that the sun hits in the summer, it's just like the whole sky lights up the ballpark almost. It's just really, it's beautiful.
It really is. If you haven't been out to LA, or if you've been to LA and have never been to Dodger Stadium, I recommend going there at least once because it is a really cool experience.
And I also recommend going to Petco Park in San Diego because San Diego is lovely and the weather's nice most of the year. Although I heard they're having floods right now, which like, San Diego, like I lived in San Diego for 2 years and I think it rained like 10 times, you know,
it's that crazy and, weather.
And these
it's
were
all over.
These were more precedented times in like 2000. When did I live there? 2004 through 2006. Like, you know, we had wildfires then because we've always had wildfires in California, but like, it wasn't drastic like it is now. Like just it. San Diego's lovely though. Sometimes I get off the plane there and I'm like, people are happy and the sun is shining. Why did I ever leave this place?
Yeah.
So I definitely recommend going to Petco Park as well. But, you know, back to what we were talking about, some of those ballparks kind of pay for themselves.
Right.
Yankee Stadium probably does too. It's one of the more expensive tickets in baseball. I don't think that it's hollow platitudes when Hal says, you know, our goal is to carry on this legacy and win another World Series. I don't think that's completely hollow, but I think most owners these days would tell you that profit margins are probably at the forefront of their mind. And then a very like 1A and 1B is winning.
It's, yeah.
You know, capitalist baseball. That's what yeah. It is these days.
Right. Right.
You know, don't even prioritize winning. So at least, you know, at least Hal says he wants to win. Like, can they say the same in Colorado right now?
Oh yeah. yeah. I feel bad for, like I said, I've said this before during our trade show, the trade deadline show, our Rockies host was just so defeated. He was like, he couldn't even speak at one point because he was just like, they're not doing anything. Why is this? You know, he was like, I'm so jealous of all these other teams that are making moves because, you know, they brought me on to talk about Rizzo and Gallo. And he was just like, I have nothing to say. What am I going to talk about? My team's not doing anything. But, you know, I think, as you said, you know, the Mets made all these moves, and I likened it in our rundown. Now, no one get offended. I'm saying this about myself. But I said that, you know, the Mets were spending money like I used to spend money during my pre-diagnosis days where I didn't know I had bipolar disorder, and I would just spend money at Saks Fifth Avenue. Like, you know, I was a real housewife of New York City and I had no business spending that money. And that's how the Mets were spending before the lockout, where the Yankees were being not smarter because, I mean, you know, the Mets made really good moves before.
They were being more careful in their approach.
Yeah. You know,
you have to think of it this way as well. Steve Cohen is the only owner in baseball that didn't lose money during the pandemic shortened season in 2020 because he didn't own the team then.
Right.
So look, I'm not privy to all the bank information of every owner, but I do know that like the assertions of crying poor are not necessarily accurate, but Steve Cohen is perhaps in a different financial situation than some other people. And, you know, Hal Steinbrenner is on the board with a few other owners who was involved in negotiations. So I think maybe he's also seeing it from a different perspective. He is a longtime owner. He grew up in the business. Steve Cohen didn't, you know, he is a local kid who got to buy. He's every guy's, I mean, he's everybody's dream. He's a local kid who bought his childhood team.
Yeah. That'd be like me buying the Yankees. It'd be
yeah,
amazing.
Exactly. So it's, I think they are looking at it from two different perspectives and two different ways of operating.
Right. Yeah. I'll say that. But yeah, I just, I mean, I know that a lot of owners operate that way, but likening it, that's the word, to a Broadway show is kind of fitting just because of the whole New York Broadway thing. Before we get into our next subject, which is balls, take a drink. We're going to talk about comfy socks because why not? It's, you know, we were complaining about the weather on yesterday's show because it's not very wintry here in New York. It's not very wintry in a lot of places in the United States. So you might not want to wear socks, but I think that socks make you feel better if they're really comfy. Don't you?
I absolutely do. I mean, I love a good pair of cozy socks. I love a good pair, like a sturdy pair for when I'm working out at the gym and I need them to be like cushiony. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Quality.
Now, we're talking about Stance Apparel because they sell lots of funky socks. Founded in 2009, Stance Apparel represents a radical reinvention of socks, underwear, and active apparel with a sharp focus on comfort, quality, and creativity. Stance brings an atypical aesthetic alongside some of pop culture's hottest collaborators for the ultimate in style and self-expression because everything you wear should be a direct extension of who you are and how you feel. Now, Stance has a bunch of collaborations that are pretty cool. MLB, NBA, collaborations, The Office, Harry Potter, Disney, Marvel, Star Wars, The Goonies. That's one of my favorite movies as a kid. I can't even tell you how many times I watched that movie. Stance believes that the perfect fit matters more than fitting in and that those who feel good do good. So go see for yourself. Register for an account at stance.com and get 15% off your first purchase. Use promo code LOCKEDON at checkout to apply. Enjoy the color and comfort of a life less ordinary with Stance. Thanks again for making Locked On Yankees your first listen every day. We're free and available on all platforms. Now, I mentioned on Tuesday's show that Anthony Rizzo was on Ian Happ's podcast, and he had some things to say about how much better free agency is compared to arbitration, but that wasn't the only thing he discussed. He mentioned the fact that he noticed something was up with the baseballs in 2021, and that it actually made him feel better when that expose came out because he knew he wasn't crazy.
A lot of players noticed. Yeah. I mean, they're the ones, these guys are so drilled into like their routines, you know, that any little deviation from it, like they, especially pitchers, they know when something's up, when a stitch feels wrong. How often are pitchers asking for new baseballs? You know, they know when it feels off. I don't know why like we talked about before, MLB should have just said something in the beginning, just like been transparent and said, we have two different baseballs this year. It was a pandemic-induced thing that occurred. You know, it was necessary. Hey, it's going to be different. And there would have been a lot of pushback.
Right.
But then we could have sort of concluded instead of players just feeling like they were lied to and deceived. Because they're gonna, it's almost like the league was like that, it's like that TikTok sketch. Nobody's gonna know.
They're gonna know.
Somebody, pitcher, please like do that with a baseball because I'm not very like TikTok savvy.
Oh,
so
that'd be a great TikTok. That would blow up too. That would definitely be one of the most viral, you know, like 6 million like TikToks if it happened.
We need a pitcher to do that.
But like you said, it was the whole them not saying anything about it. And also, like you said, yes, there would have been some pushback, but this is so much worse. The way they found out is so much worse than MLB being like, hey, we had to do this because of the pandemic. Although I don't know.
Because nobody likes to be lied to, especially the governing body of the sport that like you're making your living on. And I know that a lot of people are going to say, these are guys who are paid millions of dollars to play a child's game. But the reality is that most of these players are actually not millionaires.
Right.
We highlight the best ones are millionaires, but there are so many other people who are trying to make it in this industry or trying to make it in this game. Okay, let me give you this example. Mm-hmm. A very close friend of mine is married to a pitcher who has appeared in, let me just look it up. Let me look up how many major league games he has appeared in as a relief pitcher.
I knew a major league pitcher, graduated high school with me, drafted by the Marlins, and he actually made a nice little career for himself. It was pretty cool.
Oh no, my internet's freezing. Okay, he's pitched almost 130 major league innings. He has appeared in 37 major league games. So him and his wife are having issues. They have a son. She's having some fertility issues. I'm not going to use her name. We've talked about this before. Her and I have talked about this before. And, you know, she's fine with me sort of using this like anecdotally, but maybe not using her name. They're having some fertility issues. They very badly want a second child. They want their son to have a sibling. And it's something that they planned for years ago when they met and decided to get married. They knew that they wanted a lot of kids, and it doesn't look like that's happening. It's expensive to try and do IVF and things like that. And he is been on a minor league. He's made okay money because he, by yours and my standard, but he's nowhere near a millionaire, and they are trying to decide if they use this, if they, undergo a very expensive fertility treatment, for something that they very badly want, or they're trying to decide, you know, what their future looks like without baseball and how can they afford their family without baseball. And, you know, he's not a millionaire, and he is dealing with the two of them. They're dealing with real world decisions.
Right.
Most MLB players' wives also not millionaires, you know? So to highlight, yes, we see their salaries. We see that, Fernando Tatis is making hundreds of millions of dollars. Of course, he is exception to the rule.
Right.
Major league salaries were actually down this year as well. Part of the reason, you know, couldn't get the CBA done. These guys' careers and their livelihoods are at stake. And I just feel like somebody in with their livelihood. And it just, I can't imagine from like a human level, that's got to feel really awful to think maybe my sled have worked and I wouldn't have blown up in that one inning and gotten sent back to AAA. Or maybe, you know, maybe if I had hit one more home run that I couldn't get a hold of, I'd be in the major leagues. I can't imagine how that feels from their perspective, but it's got to feel really deceptive.
Sure. Well, this almost reminds me of everything that came out after the Astros thing. You know, it's not like all teams aren't trying to get an advantage, but it's the same sort of thing where there were probably guys who either had their careers ruined or weren't able to make it up to the big leagues because guys were doing what they were doing, or they had a really bad outing when they were up and then got sent back down and never came back. I mean, we don't know, but it's possible that something like that happened to someone in 2017 as a result of that. And it's just almost unfathomable, cannot say that word, to me that MLB, I don't know. I can't believe.
It's going to lead to, like we talked about before, it's going to lead to like conspiracy theory type of thinking. And maybe some of those hold some weight and maybe they don't, but it's going to, these guys who are playing the game every day and they see that something's wrong, they're going to talk and their mind's going to wander and they're going to talk to their agents and they're going to talk to their families about it. And the optics for the league are going to look bad and they're going to come talk to the media about it. That's not what the league wants.
No.
What did the league really just think, that they were just going to like slide these baseballs in and nobody would make? No one's ever going to know.
Right.
They're going to, like, as I have said before, when players are upset with something, they sometimes use the media to send a message. And same with the coaches. If they're not happy with how some of their guys are performing, they use the media to send a message on occasion.
Yeah.
Not always, but this is a thing that happens. And like I said, I've had minor leaguers call me and say, you know, I felt like I was being singled out because XYZ, you know, they're going to call us. And if they perceive that they're being, if, that there's like, a, you know, an injustice of sort, they're going to tell us. And that's going to look really bad on the part of the league. They're going to get embarrassed. They already are embarrassed right now.
Yeah. And again, the timing of it. Not that, I don't think that the author of the article and Meredith Wills, who is the astrophysicist who was looking at the different baseballs, it wasn't like a malicious thing on their part to release it when it was released. It just took time for them to do this article, and it just happened to come out right before the lockout. And just the optics of that, you know, the problems that the players and owners were already having, this just didn't really help. You know, we're not really hearing much about anything either.
No, you know, nobody is right now. It's sort of a dead period. The holidays are coming up, and I don't think there are any, like, I don't think there's been any negotiations recently, but like, so the winter meetings should have been last week, as we talked about. But like, I mean, I know somebody who works for an American League team who was like on vacation this week because he was like, what else am I supposed to do?
Right. It's like, nothing's happening.
Yeah. And like, teams are still having some like meetings and they're discussing things. But in terms of like, CBA negotiations.
Oh, Justin Verlander's contract went through.
You know, I think it's like a dead period right now. And maybe there's things that happen to me that I don't know about, because as I've said before, I'm not an insider. I don't pretend to be an insider. I'm just a reporter who happens to talk to people in baseball and write about it and talk about it as well. But it, from everything it sounds like, it's just kind of a dead period right now. And maybe the deadline of spring training is going to obviously force them to come back to the negotiating table at some point.
Yeah.
How quickly that is, though, that I don't know. Right. And that's going to make a lot of people nervous as well, because nobody wants to miss any games. The league, it's going to cost the league a lot of money. And an extended lockout, I mean, the last strike did so much damage to baseball. So it really would behoove the league to compromise a little, and look, the Players Association is going to have to do it. Like, the league right now seems to be like, just based on Manfred's letter and some of the remarks that he had after the owners locked the doors, they seem to be far apart from what the players want, but they also seem to be the ones who, they think their line of thinking isn't bad. And I think it might behoove the league to like move a little bit further to the middle.
Yeah.
Maybe take more steps than the Players Association will have to take to get to the middle. Because otherwise you're damaging your own brand.
Right. Actually, in the next segment, thank you for mentioning that strike from 94, because some of the people involved in the Hall of Fame ballots played in that era after, and, you know, all the stuff that happened after the strike has a lot to do with Hall of Fame ballots that are trickling out. But before we get to that, BetOnline has you covered all season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football season is continuing its march to the playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to their new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive that bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. So some Hall of Fame ballots have come out, and some of them have actually, I'm shocked by some of them, because I'm seeing not a lot, but I'm seeing a few A-Rods checked off, and I'm kind of floored, because I figured, I didn't think he would drop off the ballot. I think enough people will vote for him. He's definitely going to, it's not going to be like, you know, a 5% or less thing with A-Rod. I think there's going to be a number of people voting for him, but I'm pleasantly surprised that a lot of ballots have all the PED guys.
Yeah.
I feel like
Clemens, Bonds.
You know, Sosa, I saw one with Sosa and Sheffield, like everyone, anyone who was linked to it, the guys were just like, yeah, you know, just checking them off. And I was kind of shocked by that. The one thing that is sort of annoying, and I'll ask you about this, Curt Schilling said that he didn't want to be, you know, well, I don't want to be in the Hall of Fame if they're not going
to. Yeah, take his ball and go home. Yes, he wanted to take his ball and go home.
So he claims he doesn't want to be in the Hall of Fame now, but people are still voting for him, which is driving me nuts, because he's going to make the 75%. He's going to make the Hall of Fame. And I don't know if people are doing it to spite him or I don't know. I just feel like if he says he doesn't want to be in the Hall of Fame, give his vote to someone else. What are you doing?
Well, you know, there is, I think we previously just like touched on this. There is sort of that moral argument of the Hall of Fame is, yes, it is a sports Hall of Fame and it is supposed to highlight your accomplishments, your historic accomplishments on the baseball field, in the league. But do we want to elevate somebody to baseball's highest honor that is perceived as being a bad person? And I'm not saying a bad person as in like, you know, I don't know, he's not nice to his neighbor or something like that. But like, you know, he did talk about what, hanging journalists.
Yes.
There is the argument that maybe that is not good for the game and that's not good for the Hall of Fame because you want to showcase, you want to showcase the good in the game. I see the other side of it as well. I'm not a voter. I'm a member of the Baseball Writers Association, but I'm not a voter. I do see the other side of the coin that is, it is strictly a baseball argument. And what they did on the baseball field was historic. Was it aided in any sort by steroids? I mean, I think, you know, they're going to say, there's a lot of people that'll say, well, they never tested positive for anything. You know, the league never caught them. They were never suspended for anything. I think that the investigative journalism on Clemens and Bonds is enough to sort of, in the court of public opinion, say, we know that they did a lot.
Right. I mean, if you look at Bonds, you know he did. Come on.
Yeah. So I think that's just where I think you're going to see people who have sort of evolved their thinking and said, you know, I don't know that I care about the moral argument, and what they did was still historic, regardless of whether the playing field was level or not, because at this point, it's difficult to know what the playing field even looked like. There's probably guys in the Hall of Fame who did use steroids. Because there were a lot of guys who never did test positive. So I think that, you know, there are new voters coming in, and there are voters who are reassessing how they previously voted. And I'm not surprised to see, I don't know, maybe I am surprised. I just think that that's, look, we're living through unprecedented times. We have learned a lot about a lot of things recently. In the last few years, we have learned a lot about a virus, about social unrest, about politics, and like people change their minds. And I think that there's something, it's okay to change your mind.
Sure.
I think that I would like to hear more of like their thought process. And I do enjoy that some of the voters are sharing their thought process behind why they voted for certain candidates who were implicated in whether it was the Mitchell report or, you know, had positive tests or something like that. I think a lot of people are sharing their insights on how they made their decisions. Although there was one new voter who had the batting stance guy.
I loved that so much.
That was
much.
Great. I forget who it was. That was fantastic.
Was it Rob Bradford?
Bravo to whoever it was. Like,
yeah.
Phenomenal reveal of your ballot. Just great, great creative. That is like, I don't know. He could really have a future in like, I don't know, social media or TikTok or something with an idea like that. Cause that's the kind of thing that like creative social media people are always coming up with. And I can't, cause I tend to think in like long form journalism words instead of in creative little 1 minute bites. But I think that it's okay to change your mind. If you have solid reasoning behind it, and we all sort of grow and evolve in our thinking, and before I go on too much of a tangent, because I know sometimes I do that, I think there was always going to be a time that came when people decided to really wrestle with this decision instead of just saying, nope, he's off my ballot. There was always going to be a time where people decided to revisit it. Right. And I guess now's that time.
Yeah. It was Rob Bradford of, he's Boston. He's from Boston.
Okay. Rob Bradford, like, bravo to you. Because having the batting stance guy reveal your ballot was genius.
And I mean, he follows me on Twitter, batting stance guy. And it was just, oh God, he does A-Rod so well. I was laughing my ass off. I mean, he does everyone really well.
Everyone.
But the A-Rod one, just the facial expressions and the bat waggle. Oh, I just thought it was so great. And what a fun way to reveal your ballot. And it is such a 2021 thing to do that way. And yeah, that was fun.
So one of my cousins played in the same little league as one of his kids in Los Angeles area. And I told my uncle about him, and I showed my uncle years and years ago, showed my uncle some of his videos, and he was like, oh yeah, I know that guy. He's like, he was the first base coach when I had to be the first base coach last week. And he's like, he was much better at getting the kids to like run in one direction. Cause this was like little kid, like T-ball. Oh. He's like, he was better at getting them to run in one direction than I was.
That I love when kids are that young and are trying to play T-ball and baseball and they have no idea what the hell they're doing. And they'll like run past first base and go down the right field line. You're like, no.
Turn.
What are you doing? But yeah, like I said, you know, I don't see A-Rod making it, but the fact that there were a bunch of ballots released yesterday that, or was it today? God, who the hell knows? Because the time is just so weird this week. There were at least four ballots, and I just was shocked. And then I realized, like you said, a lot of them are the newer guys who, you know, people were telling me that the voting pool was going to change and that the younger people weren't going to be as...
Yeah, they don't have it in their minds that it's just an automatic no the way that a lot of other people do.
Yeah, and, you know, whose ballot was it? Someone put Bonds but didn't put Clemens, and they put... Was it Heyman? Was it John Heyman? No offense to John Heyman. We follow each other on Twitter. But it was just kind of like an odd, like, well, why would you vote for this one but not this one if they both have the same sort of cloud around them? Like, those decisions are weird. He explained it, but it still didn't seem, I don't know, it just seemed odd to me.
I know some younger people in the BBWA who do not have votes yet, but it's coming, and they have told me they don't have a problem with voting for Clemens and Bonds. I have not gone into detail about some of the other ones with them, but those two specifically, I've heard from at least five people who are close to having ballots at some point in the near future. I don't know the exact dates. And also I can't do math. So, the voting pool is going to continue to change. That's obviously going to upset some people in the game. That's going to upset some of the other voters.
I don't know. I feel like the steroid guys should be in because some of them have historic numbers. And if they want to make it where they talk about that era and talk about that, there was this.
Yeah. I mean,
this was happening.
The black eye in baseball's history, and there's really no way to get around it because looking back on it, I mean, it was the Maguire-Sosa home run race that really sort of reinvigorated a lot of people as fans after the
Especially
strike.
After that strike, yep. Mm-hmm. And Bud Selig's in, and, you know, as much as people always like to talk about the Mitchell report and that stuff, he was turning a blind eye to the steroid. You knew that Maguire and Sosa were on things. They were hitting balls 500 freaking feet, and you were just like, how is this happening? And no one cared because it was bringing people's eyes to baseball again, because it did take a while for baseball. Like, when you look at clips from Yankee Stadium in 1998, when the Yankees won 114 regular season games, you see games from September of 98, and the old stadium would push everyone closer to the plate, and you'd see the entire upper deck empty. Yeah. You know, and even during that season, there were some times where it wasn't filled to the brim with fans. And it did. It took a really long time for baseball to get its act together and get back to people watching it. And, you know, I know that some of the writers also started changing their views once Selig was allowed in. They were like, well, he's in the Hall of Fame and he oversaw all this stuff and he kind of turned a blind eye to it. And then suddenly was like, oh, yeah, this is bad. So... And that kind of changed some minds where they're like, all right, you know what? I'm going to vote Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. And this is their last year. So this is their last chance. And it looks like they might make it in.
They might. I mean, the numbers could change, but it's trending in their direction right now. And I don't know. I guess I'm just so, I guess I'm more so surprised that it made such a big jump in such a short amount of time.
Yeah.
Because it really didn't let me, the last few years, I went back and I looked at a story that I wrote a few years ago about, you know, how once again they didn't make it in. And I was just kind of like, oh, they'll never make it in. They'll never make it in.
Like hovering around, yeah, they were hovering around 50 for like a yeah. real, like 50. The jump from 50 to 75 is really big.
Like I said, I knew that there was always going to be some sort of like reckoning with this, but that's probably not the right word.
I know what you mean though.
Yeah. But I just didn't think it was going to be like this big of a jump this quickly.
Yeah.
But you know, hey, good for them if they're getting in. I don't know how much it means to Clemens and Bonds. I grew up in Northern California when Barry Bonds was Barry Bonds. And I watched him. I took my dad to a game for Father's Day, and I watched him hit the home run. I think it was when he either tied or broke Babe Ruth's record. And then my dad was at the game with his buddy. When he broke the all-time home run record. Funny story there. It was Italian Heritage Night because in San Francisco, they always do Italian Heritage Night. And my dad being very Italian and his best friend also being very Italian, like they go every year. It's like a thing for them. Well, not anymore. Unfortunately, his friend passed away. And my dad did go to Italian Heritage Night again this year, just like with another friend, like in his honor, just so that they could kind of like commemorate him. But I called my dad when I saw that I was at a hotel in San Antonio. I had an internship at the PGA Tour that summer, and I was driving across the country with one of my friends, and we'd been watching the games every night, waiting for him. You know, we wanted to watch history, and so my dad was there, and I called him, and I was like, what's it like? There's a big ceremony out on the field. And he goes, I don't know. There's no line for salami sandwiches. We got like 10 of them each and shoved them in our jackets. Vince?
You just witnessed history.
You took the opportunity to like not watch the event, the historic event. I mean, like Willie McCovey's on the field, you know? And it's like, my dad just... Willie Mays and Willie McCovey were both on the field, and I'm like relaying this information to him, and he's like, I got a bunch of salami in my jacket. Oh my God, Dad. It's embarrassing. Like, and then my mom said he went home and like put them all in the fridge too.
Oh my God, that's so
like,
funny.
He was just eating salami sandwiches that he stole from AT&T Park for the next week. Oh, this is like, this is such a Italian thing to do. I don't understand. They go nuts for free Italian food.
That's funny. It's like, hello, you're at a historic thing.
And he ate a historic amount of salami that night.
Yeah. And for the next week. That's awesome. Yeah. We'll, as more ballots come out, we'll see how the numbers go, because I believe the deadline for the voting is the beginning of January. So we have some time for people to release more ballots. And not everyone does, you know, or not everyone puts their name to it. Most of the people have so far, which I'm also impressed about that too, because you see a few anonymous guys doing it. I always say guys. I know there are women there, but the majority of Hall of Fame voters right now, there are a lot of guys. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the numbers go. But for right now, it's looking... like it could be a Bonds Clemens with maybe two other people induction. We'll see how that works. But for now, that is it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Abby and I would like to remind you that you can listen to the show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Bets. Make your second listen of the day Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Enjoy your Thursday, and we will talk to you tomorrow.